You know, when you turn to the book of Hebrews in your Bible, it's a book that we have noted that the writer reminds these Christians. You would think they would already know it. But the writer reminds these Christians over and over again about the sacrifice that Jesus had made for their life. It apparently was something that they had allowed to slip. It was apparently something that they had allowed to just drift off in their minds and not remain really a focus of who they were and what they were doing. And so as a part of this year, our theme for this year is simply at His cross. We're trying to focus on different things each month to talk about what do I find when I come to His cross. And what the Hebrews writer wanted those Christians to find is what we are emphasizing this morning. Why did he keep telling them about the sacrifice that Jesus made? He was trying to encourage them that at His cross, I find motivation. They had lost their motivation for serving the Lord. And the writer and the Holy Spirit inspiring this writer was trying to encourage them, get back to where you were. Get back to being motivated to serving the Lord like you should. And the only thing that can really motivate you is to remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. And so it's right in the middle of this book and that passage that was read from Hebrews chapter 5 that because they had lost sight of who they were, because they had lost sight of what Jesus had done for them, these individuals were no longer growing as they should. And they were no longer the teachers that they needed to be. And so in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the writer said to them, "You ought to be teachers." And he was telling them that because they weren't. Because they had not grown in their faith to that point to where they were teaching others what they needed to do in order to become a Christian, in order to thrive as Christians, in order to continue to grow as a Christian. And so this morning, what that Hebrew writer said to those Christians nearly 2,000 years ago is what God is saying to each of us. You ought to be teachers. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ this morning, this lesson is for you. There is no one here this morning that this would be an exception for. There's no member of this congregation here this morning that can say, "Well, that's not really me. I'm not really qualified. That's not really my strength." That wasn't what was said in the book of Hebrews. The writer did not look for their qualifications. He did not ask them what their strengths were. He said to every last one of them, "You ought to be teachers." And so God says to every last one of us today, "Brethren, you ought to be teachers." Can I ask you this morning, are you? Are you a teacher as God would have you to be a teacher? This morning, I want us to step into three different classrooms that God tells us to step into as teachers of His Word. In the first classroom we're going to step into this morning is that we need to be teachers in the classroom of, and you need to be a teacher in the classroom of your world. We all live in the same world, don't we? I mean, I know some people live in their own world. I've heard that expression, haven't you? Some of you live in your own world, right? But we all live in the same world, but even within our own world, we all have our own worlds. Does that make sense? Your world is different than my world. Your circle of influence is different than my circle of influence. We have a responsibility, brethren, to step into our world in which we live and to be a teacher. And so when you step into your world, there are some responsibilities that you have. There are some mandates that God gives to us. And He comes right out and says to Christians, we must teach. This is not optional. Hope you all have these fill-in-the-blanks there to keep you occupied this morning, right? It's for you to fill in some helpful information. The Bible says we, not optional, not could, should, might, we must teach. The old King James in Matthew 28, verse 19 said, "Go therefore and teach all nations." That's what we've got to do. Verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." In Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul says, "Him we Him we teach, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that we might present every man perfect in Christ. This is not optional, brethren. We have the obligation, the mandate given to us by God to step into our world and to teach. And if we do not do it, it is sin. We don't talk about that very often. Sometimes we think about sins that are sins of commission, where I commit an act and I sin. But here is an act that if I do not do it, I sin by not doing it. God tells me, go and teach. What if I don't do what God says? James 4 and verse 17 says, to him who knows to do good, like teaching, and does not do it, to him, it's sin. Book of Ezekiel is so vivid in Ezekiel chapter 3, especially verses 16, 17, and 18, where God said to Ezekiel, and God says to us by means of implication, He says, if I warn the wicked, if I warn the wicked that he must turn from his wickedness, but he says to Ezekiel, but you don't tell him. I've warned him, but you don't tell him that I have warned him. Well, he's going to die for his wickedness. But at the end of verse 17, he says, and I will hold it to your account. His blood will I require at your hand. God expects us to teach. And when we don't teach, God requires it of us. That's serious. This isn't optional. This isn't something, well, whether I'm qualified or not qualified, whether it's my strength or not my strength. We must, by obligation, step into the classroom of the world in which we live and teach. And when we do that, we've got the obligation to teach those things that are true to the Word of God. Not something that we have made up on our own. But the goal here as we teach these things is not to draw attention to ourselves. The goal is two words, to save souls. It's not about us. It's about saving lost souls for the gospel of Christ. How are we doing in this regard? How are you doing in your classroom? How are you doing in your world? And teaching others the plan of salvation, teaching them what they need to do in order to be saved. Could I encourage you on your little, and I don't know what color this is, peach, orange, pink, I don't know. I know you know it's mauve, it's salmon. I know you know the color, okay? But can I encourage you on this piece of paper? There's 5 lines there. I could have put 25 lines. Can I encourage you to write the names of 5 people? The names of 5 people that you need to teach. Names of 5 people that you love, that you care about, that you know. The names of 5 people that are in your world. They might not be in anybody else's world. Name of 5 people that this week you need to say something to. Maybe you don't know their name. Maybe it's somebody who's in your world, but you're not really sure what their name is. Maybe it's somebody that you see at a drive-thru and you see them all the time, you just don't know their name. Maybe it's somebody you see at the checkout line, you can't remember their name. Just write where you know them. Can I encourage you to write their names here? Because sometimes when we write a name down, it makes it even more real to us. That God, my responsibility is to that name. Richard might not know that person, but I do. Les might not know that person, but I do. Joan might not know that person, but God, I do. They're in my classroom. They're in my world. And they're my responsibility. Can I ask you to pray for them? To pray for them by name and to pray to God, God, give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the boldness. Give me the motivation that I need. Stare at the cross of Jesus and go. Go and talk to them. You know, the reality is that somebody is going to teach them something, isn't it? Somebody's going to teach them something. They're going to turn on the news. They're going to turn on the television. They're going to turn on religious TV. They're going to find something online. They're going to have somebody else in their workplace talk to them. Somebody is going to teach them something. Guess what we've got to do? Must. We must go and teach them the truth. And we've got resources galore at our disposal. We've got methods galore at our disposal, and we don't have time to digest and to talk about all of these, but we could talk about this from a wide approach. We could talk about it from a narrow approach, and then we could talk about it from a direct approach. Three different words for you. There's the wide approach. Can I encourage you? Don't raise your hand. I thought about asking you to raise your hand. But how many of us are on social media? How many of us have some sort of presence on social media? How many of us and that's part of our world? Some of us don't post much. And the rest of us are kind of thankful that some of us don't post a whole lot. Some individuals post everything that happens. Some of us get a kick out of some people who post everything that happens. When was the last time you posted something with the express purpose of teaching those people in your social media world the gospel? When was the last time you did that? Can I encourage you once a week just to post something that is specific to faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe it's something that you write. Maybe it's just a thought that you have that you share. Maybe better than that is just finding something that you share. That you don't even have to write anything at that point. You just find something. You can go to our website. Everything on our website, you can just click on Facebook and it'll just throw it on Facebook. Right there. Here is what I found. Here's an article that I read. Here's something I saw. Go to Apologetics Press. Go to ChristianCourier.com. Did you know? We've got a number of tracks out here on our track rack, and that's under the narrow approach. Tracks are under that narrow approach where I take a track and I give it to specific people in an effort to reach them. But did you know that most, maybe I don't know most, it might be all, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of the tracks that we have on our track rack out there, the ones that are at least printed by House to House, Heart to Heart, the ones that say by Alan Webster on them, that we have supplied to us by House to House, Heart to Heart. We purchased those. We've got hundreds of those, by the way, in stock. So take what you want from that track record. Did you know that if you go to housetohouse.com, you can find those tracks where you can purchase them for yourself. But oftentimes, and maybe it's all the time, I don't know, but oftentimes right there where you can purchase them, it'll say, "Read me." You can click there, and right there online, you can read that track without ever having that track in your hand. And take that link to some track you have found and put it on your Facebook page. Send it out in an email that says, "Hey, check this out. I found this. I thought you might be interested in it." Brethren, we have a responsibility to teach. And in the world that we live in, our classroom has been broadened and is huge now. Because of the internet. And in your classroom, what can you do to let other people know about Christ? To let other people know about the gospel? Let other people know about the church? And that narrow approach, that broad approach, that wide approach, you reach everybody in your circle. But now you got to narrow it down, because God says you've got to focus on some individual, and you need to try to see, what can I do to make a difference in this person's life? And then there's that direct approach where I go one-on-one to somebody and say, "Will you study the Bible with me?" That's sometimes the scariest question to ask, because you don't know how they're going to answer. Part of you wants them to say yes, because that's the right answer. Part of you wants them to say no, because you're scared to death what an answer of yes means. Can I study the Bible with you? We have resources available. They're always out there on the table. You can use that 3-study series. You can take a DVD the Searching for Truth DVD. We keep those stocked out there. You can take that and watch that with them. Better yet, well, not better yet, but in addition to that, that Searching for Truth DVD is linked right on the homepage of our website. Share that on your social media page. Watch these videos. Spread the word. But we have a responsibility to even have a direct approach where we ask somebody, will you study the Bible with me? And if they say yes and you feel ill-equipped, then come and ask any elder, any preacher, any deacon of this congregation, I need help. And you'll get help. Because there's nothing more important on this earth than teaching the gospel in our world. As you think about it, you think about that there are rewards for us. Guess what? The reward for me is that I can rejoice that I have done what the Lord has told me to do. There's the reward for those that I reach out to. They can rejoice. Remember, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And there's the reward of doing what Jesus says, of bringing honor and glory to His name. You can see on your handout, we've got to pick up the pace. We've got to go a little bit faster. But I want to ask you this question before we go into classroom number two. How are you doing in classroom number one? This isn't optional. God tells us to step into our world to teach the gospel. Are we doing it? Classroom number two, God tells us to step into, is to step into your church. Step into an opportunity to teach the Bible to those who are in the church. Now again, there are responsibilities that we have. And specifically, I want to talk to you this morning about teaching the children that are a part of this church. I'm not going to ask you again to raise your hand. But in your mind, I want you to answer this question. Have you ever taught a children's Bible class in this church? Don't raise your hand. Don't shake your head. Have you ever taught a children's Bible class at this church? It's something we've got to do. It's an absolute must. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 says, to commit these things to other faithful men so that they can teach others. We've got a responsibility to commit it to the children so they can teach others. But Titus 2 specifically says, for older women to teach the younger women, for older men to teach the younger men, there are responsibility of those who are older to teach those who are younger. Can you define for me the age of the older? Can you tell me what that means? How old is older? How old is older? Don't look around. Don't point fingers. Okay, that's rude. All right. How old is older to teach the younger? How old do you have to be to step into one of these classrooms and teach the children the Bible? How old do you have to be? Can you not be someone who is older teaching someone who is younger? It is an absolute must. Jesus said, to whom much has been given. In fact, He said, for everyone, underscore that word, everyone. For everyone, does that include you? For everyone to whom much has been given, much is going to be required. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that much is going to be required of you? Do you think it could possibly be asked on the day of judgment, did you teach any children about Jesus? You think that could be a question? We don't know all the questions that are going to be there. But when He says the older are to teach the younger, have you ever done that? You'll notice that I did not give you as many blanks for this question. But what excuses do you think would work? I'd be interested if you actually put anything in the two blanks that are there. What excuses do you think are valid? What excuses do you think are justifiable? Here's why I can't teach a children's Bible class, and here's my excuse. What do you suppose would be a good excuse for not teaching children the Bible? Dan Fuller, I'm going to ask you something. I'm sorry, I didn't think about this before, but Dan Fuller is one of our elders. Dan's been involved in our education program since he and Noah got off the ark a few years back. But Dan's been involved in our education program for a long time. When he was when he was before he was a deacon, as a deacon, now as an elder, he's been a part of our education program. So I'm going to ask you some simple, just yes or no answers be sufficient. Let me do the preaching, okay? Is there a maximum age? Like, you know, sometimes you can age out of certain things, right? You know, like your brother-in-law is an air traffic controller and they age out of that, right? You don't want somebody, you know, who's 102 and their eyesight's gone to be an air traffic controller. So you age out of being an air traffic controller. So is it possible to age out of teaching in our children's Bible class program?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. I didn't feed him the answer. So he got that one right. Okay. So you can't age out of it. So there's not a maximum age that you would reach in doing that. So you can't be too old to teach in our Bible class program. That's a no.
Nope.
That's a no. Okay. So do you have to have a special degree, like a special high school or college degree?
No.
No. Okay. That's good. Do you have to have experience? Like when you go and apply for a job, they ask you for what's your experience. Do you have to have experience in this?
Not really. No.
Wow. So you're just full of no's this morning. Everything is just a no. Yes. Yeah, so are we in need of more Bible class teachers?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So now we got a yes. So there is no age maximum here. There's no requirement for experience or that you have to have a certain level of education. So let's see. Who would that apply to? Oh, well, all of us. All of us can teach in our Bible class. All of us are qualified to teach in those regards, to teach in our Bible class program. I want you to think about that. Somebody says, well, I've been teaching a long time. You know, I've been teaching Bible classes here for 20 years. It's time for somebody else to do it. Maybe I should have asked Dan that question. Dan, I'll ask you from here. Is there a max quota on teaching? Like, if you've taught for a certain number of years or a certain number of classes, you're done. You've just maxed out. Oh, there's not a max. You're not that one either. So just because you've taught so many classes for so many years, there's no maxing out. There's no, well, I've done my part. It's time for somebody else to do it. We all have a responsibility to teach. We all have opportunities throughout this church to teach. And somebody says, well, I'm just too busy. I've got too much going on. I don't have time. Next Sunday, next Wednesday, would you go up and down this hallway and ask the teachers there, are you busy? Do you have things going on in your life? Or are you just so bored that you volunteered to teach Bible classes? You know what? Everybody's busy. These teachers are probably some of the busiest people in the world. And yet, they're teaching in our Bible class program. What's holding you back from being somebody who would come and volunteer to teach? Guess what? Same thing again. Somebody's going to teach our kids something. Wouldn't you like to be a part of those who teach them the truth? Somebody's going to teach them something. Why don't we take an opportunity to teach them? And as with all matter of teaching, there are resources and methods that are available to you. Ladies, you are needed. Ladies, you are needed to teach our cradle roll class and our toddler class. Those kids are fun. They'll scream bloody murder sometimes, but those kids are fun. Would you volunteer to teach our cradle roll and our toddlers? There's names on your handout. You can talk to. Talk to Kevin Weeks, Jeff Goodale, talk to Judy Lair, talk to Dan Fuller. You talk to any elder this morning and tell them, here's where I would like to teach. And I guarantee you, elders, I guarantee you that the elders will write your name down and get it to the right people. We need, ladies, we need you to teach in our Stepping Into the Bible program. This Stepping Into the Bible program is one of the coolest things that I've ever seen. It's being developed in this church. The curriculum is being written and being developed by people in this church so that you as a teacher can have put in your hand this binder that is your one-stop shop for preparation in your class. That's what it's designed to be. You've got what you need to step into a Bible class and start teaching that Bible class. Yeah, you need to spend some time in preparation. But here are lesson plans for you to follow. Here are suggestions for you to use in the classroom. Here are things, handouts for you to use in the class for the different age groups to make copies of and say, hey, I'm going to step into this class and I'm going to teach them the Bible. And if you've never done that, I guarantee you there is a line of ladies that will help you, who will let you come in and learn from them and teach with them. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from saying, yeah, I'll teach? You know, I didn't know teachers were needed. I'll teach. Put my name on the list. There's a list of people right here. Jeff Goodale is the deacon in charge of our children's education. Talk to him. Talk to Judy Lara, who lines up our teachers. Talk to Dan Fuller. Talk to any one of the elders. They'll get you on the right path. They will make sure your name is on the list, that you have an opportunity to talk and to be considered to teach in our classes. What's holding you back from doing that? Men, your help is needed. Our grades 4 and 5 and stepping into the Bible is taught by our men. Men, we need your help. Grades 4 and 5, that might be like the best class in all of the church. All right? Those kids are awesome. We've got men who are stepping in there and teaching. We need more men who'd be willing to step in and teach that class. Men, we need your help in our junior high and our senior high classes. We need your help and your willingness to step in and say, yeah, I'd be willing to teach them. What's holding you back? You know, we think about teaching others and maybe we get nervous. Maybe we get scared. Maybe we say, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. We have some individuals in this church. We have some individuals in this church that their daily lives are busier than anybody I've ever known, who work hours and hours and hours, who 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week on the job is not unusual. And yet when they're asked to teach, their answer is yes. Thank God for you. Thank you for your heart and your willingness to step in and teach. Brothers and sisters, we need more who are willing to step into that classroom, to step into the classroom in the church, be willing to teach others, to teach our children especially about the Bible. And don't you know that there's rewards for doing it? You know, the Bible says that if you offend one of these little ones who believes in me, Jesus says it's better if a millstone were hanging about your neck and you're drowned in the depth of the sea. Well, what's the opposite of that? What if you don't offend a little one who believes in him? What if you teach the little one to believe in him? Do you think there's a reward for you? Is there a reward for these children as they learn about Jesus, as they learn about God, as you have an opportunity to teach them? Will they grow? Can the church grow? Brethren, there's time for us to step up. It's time for us, as God says to us, you ought to be teachers. It's time for us to be teachers in this classroom in the church. Finally, we need to step into the classroom in your home. Moms and dads, you've got a big classroom. You've got children in your home that need to learn about God. And there's responsibilities there. There's a mandate given to us by God to teach our children. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, bring them up in the way they should go. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, do not provoke your children with, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is so great. In verse 6, the Bible says that the things that you've heard, that write these upon your heart. These need to be in your heart. And then he says in verse 7, and these things that you've heard from me, teach them diligently to your children. I wonder what adverb God would use to describe your teaching of your children in your classroom of your home. Would God say that you have been teaching your children diligently? God says, teach it to your children diligently. When you sit in the house, or when you're outside walking, by the way, when you get up in the morning, when you rise up, when you lie down, what does that mean? Teach it to them all the time. Verse 9 says, write it on the doorpost of your home, as if to say, this home is a dwelling place of God and your children ought to know it. Not just because they see something written on the wall, not because they see some artwork that says this house belongs unto the Lord, but because they have heard those words from your mouth, because they've seen it lived in your life. Moms and dads, it's time for us to step into our homes and accept the responsibility that has been given to us. The church is not responsible for raising your kids. Church is not responsible for teaching your kids. Church is not responsible for providing a youth program to enrich the fellowship, the Christian fellowship for your kids. The church does all of that by the grace of God. But the responsibility for your children is in your hands. Psalm 127, God says, they are a heritage to you from the Lord. The Lord gave them not to somebody else. He gave them to you. And as arrows in the hand, he says in verse 4, of a warrior, so are children. Where are you aiming your kids? Some of us might be aiming our kids towards sports. There's nothing wrong with sports. But sometimes that's the only way that we point them, is to thriving in sports, and we forget about, or we just neglect pointing them towards Christ. Sometimes we're so concerned about their education and their degree and getting good grades so they can get into a good college, so they can get a good degree, so they can get a good job, that we forget about what's after all of that. Are they going to go to heaven or hell? Which way are we pointing them? Moms and dads, it's up to us to teach them. It is our responsibility to take responsibility for our children. There's nothing more important than teaching them this. The reality is that somebody is going to teach them something. The devil is busy. Next year, science classes in high school. Science classes in high school next year are going to be teaching our children about how to have homosexual relationships. They're going to learn something from somebody somewhere. What are we going to teach them? Don't you wish you could put your kids in a bubble? Don't you wish you could put your kids in a bubble and they couldn't get out until they turned 65? And, you know, and when they turned 65, they could peek out and be scared by what they see and come back in the bubble. They're going to learn something from somebody somewhere. What are we going to teach them? If they leave our house without having been in our classroom, being taught by God through us, we have failed as parents. There are all sorts of resources, all sorts of methods out there, but it starts with teaching them the Bible. And you've got on your list a more complete list than what I've got on the screen. I didn't try to fit all of this on the screen, but I tried to put on your handout a number of different resources that you can go, and there's more than this, but that you can go to. You can read from the Bible with your children. You can read from a Bible story book with your children. You can go to some of these websites. There's free printables on a website that the Fawn family, that Adam and his family have, that are free printables just to teach through different books of the Bible. You can go and use those. You can go to again to Sane Publications, and there's a number of things. There's just a number of places online that have resources for you to use. You can use some of the stuff we have out here, the studying through the Bible material, the worksheets that are out here as you leave. You know, take those and work through those with your family. There's just so many great resources at our disposal. There's the site up here called Little Acorn is a site that they've got three or four different devotional books that you can read through as a family, just a one-page devotional that you can read through as a family. You need to be the resource for your kids. They need to hear it from you. You need to be talking about Christ with your kids. You need to talk it, and you need to live it. That's as simple as it gets. You need to talk it. You need to tell your kids why they need to have faith in Jesus Christ. They need to hear it from you. Are you doing that? Or are you just expecting them to get it by osmosis? Are your kids going to learn mathematics by osmosis? Don't you wish you could? Wouldn't that be awesome? Put the textbook under your pillow at night and you wake up in the morning and you've got it all. Are they going to learn mathematics? Are they going to look science? Are they going to learn history? Are they going to learn these things? If they're not going to learn all of this other stuff by osmosis, how in the world are they going to learn the most important thing by osmosis? You've got to teach it to them. When you leave today, spend time talking with them. What was the sermon about? That's an easy way to talk about what's most important. What was your Bible class about? By the way, that means you got to bring them to Bible class before you can ask them, what was your Bible class about? Those kids who are in the Stepping into the Bible program, they've got take-home sheets built right into these things. That their teachers send these take-home sheets. Here's what I learned today. Here are the questions you can ask me to see what I learned in Bible class this morning. Built-in methods by which we can teach our children the Bible. What are we doing at home? If you're a mom or you're a dad, this is the most important classroom you will ever be in with your own kids. But you can talk it all day long if you don't live it. It won't work. If your walk doesn't match your talk, your children are going to balk at everything that they hear you say. It needs to be real in your life. They need to see that there's nothing more important to you than Jesus Christ and His church. Matthew 6 and verse 33 is not just a good memory verse. It's a life verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Are there rewards? I love 3 John. And verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There's no greater joy than that. Are there rewards and blessings for our children? Bring them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Bible says we bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We train them in how they ought to live. Now, obviously, they get to make their own choices as their life goes on. And sometimes they turn and break a heart. But what are we doing while they're in our classrooms? God told Christians in the first century, "You have forgotten about the cross of Jesus." He told them over and over through the book of Hebrews, Jesus sacrificed Himself for you, but you have forgotten it. And one evidence that they had forgotten it was they were not teachers. If we are not teaching today, is it because we have lost sight of the cross of Jesus? May we stand at His cross together and find motivation to teach in our world, to teach in our church, and to teach in our homes. Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? Have you followed God's plan of salvation? He makes it so easy. Here's something we need to teach. But before we teach it, we need to obey it so that others can see that we have done what God wants us to do. Do you this morning believe with all of your heart that Jesus is God's Son? That He died for your sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day. You believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that, then will you not make up your mind today to turn away from sinful, selfish living? Say, I'm done with that. I want to turn my life over to God. I want to change the direction of my life. And I'm ready this day. Are you ready this day to confess the faith that's in your heart and to be baptized, to be immersed in water, to be buried with Jesus, so that the blood of Jesus can wash away every sin you've ever committed? God will add you to His church and He will register your name in heaven. Have you ever done that? If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, why don't you do that today?